Welcome back to Boston Public Radio. Jim Browdy and Marjorie Egan, we're both excited. Believe it or not, there is something else going on in the city that doesn't involve the Red Sox, Marty Walsh, or John Connolly. And that would be music, live music in particular. Here with us in Studio 3 yet again for a concert roundup are Rob Hochschild. He's with Berklee College of Music. Hey, Rob, nice to see you again.
Hello.
Brian McCreath, host of 99.5 WCRB, is also producer for the Boston Symphony Orchestra's radio broadcast. Hello there, Brian.
Hey, how you doing?
And our guy, not that the others aren't, Edgar B. Herrick III with GBH's Curiosity Desk. Hello there, Edgar.
Ahoy, ahoy.
And good to see all three of you. So where do you want to start, Marjorie?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we could start with jazz, we could start with classical, we could start with rock and roll.
Why don't you decide, Marjorie?
Okay, wow. Edgar B. Herrick III, I won't start with you because you just shoved a cookie in your mouth.
I was just going to say.
Made by Nancy Kane, we should say.
She is one great baker. Okay, well, instead of that, we'll start over there with Rob.
All
yes,
right,
we'll start with jazz.
I'll eat my cookie later on,
okay.
Then.
Excellent.
Well, I'm sure you've all heard of the French guitarist Django Reinhardt, who around 1930, despite losing the use of two fingers on his left hand, invented a whole style of music.
Oh.
Gypsy jazz. He combined minor key chromatics and French gypsy music with swing music of the time, and did a lot of work with Stefan Grappelli. Hold on.
Yes. How did he lose his fingers?
It was a fire. When he was 18 years old, he was burned over large parts of his body, and for some reason, two fingers on his left hand. Very critical.
For guitar.
Yep. Big deal. So, and actually, those limitations really drove the harmonic underpinnings of the music instead of standard major and minor chord formations. They were more like altered chords and so created a sort of darker sound. But it's also a very upbeat music with really sort of fast runs, guitar and violin and an accordion. So what we've got on Halloween night coming
good
to Boston is one of the stars of this music, a violinist and guitarist from the Strasbourg region of France named Dorado Schmidt. Who's been a big part of this Django Festival in New York for years and years. Django Festival All-Stars, honoring the music, but also doing a new twist on it. So he'll be playing at Regatta Bar, I'm sorry, on October 31st. We're going to listen to a track called Swing Gone from Dorado Schmidt and the Django Festival All-Stars.
Imagine what he could do if he had all his fingers. It's be amazing.
Yeah, well, now this guy does have all his fingers.
Okay, fine,
but the weird thing is, like Django Reinhardt, he also has a pencil-thin mustache and was in this awful accident when he was younger that he recovered from after not being able to play for a couple years. So they've got a lot in common. It's really going to be a fun night of music. Sophisticated, but fun.
You know, Marjorie, so you don't get nervous, these will all be posted at WGBHnews.org. You don't have to scribble as fast as...
Exactly. Get upset. If they were driving and they can't write all this
fine
down, it
was
on
that's
the website
so
they
truism.
Can. Yes, exactly.
Brian,
thank you,
Edgar's
Brian,
still stuffing cookies in his mouth, so Brian McCreath, it's up to you.
WCRB, go ahead.
You can't stop him. But no, so on a little bit of a heavier scale here, the Boston Symphony is going to be performing the War Requiem by Benjamin Britten. Benjamin Britten is one of the great composers of the last century, one of the all-time great British composers, and he wrote this War Requiem in 1961. It was premiered for the reconstruction, the rededication of Coventry Cathedral, which had been bombed in World War II. This turns out to be a massive piece of music. It's not performed very often. And the BSO is doing something for the first time. They're initiating this new program they're calling the Insights Series. My own shorthand for that is the Deep Dive. So there's all kinds of other events going on around the War Requiem that I think are going to be a really great opportunity to really dive into this music by Britten and what it comes out of. The War Requiem was written from a very, very specific pacifist point of view. And it's an amazing piece because most people probably understand the Requiem if they're not Catholic or maybe they've been to a Requiem Mass, but certainly from the movie Amadeus.
Yes.
Right? That piece that he was writing
Mozart's,
at the very end.
Yeah.
And there's all this dramatic stuff and they build the piece right there before your very eyes. And so it's that Latin text about the end of life, the end of the world even, that you start with anytime you're writing a Requiem. But what Britten did was he took this poetry by this is just tragic. There was a soldier, a British soldier in World War I, who wrote poetry. His name was Wilfred Owen. And he wrote this beautiful, beautiful poetry during the war that commemorated lost friends, etc. He himself was shot a week before the armistice. So the story behind this is already just sort of heartbreaking. But then the music that Britten wrote, what he did was he took the Requiem Mass and then he interspersed that Latin text with the poetry of this Wilfred Owen. Hmm. And it's an amazingly powerful thing. So what we're going to hear here is just a little bit of the Dies Irae. The Dies Irae is always sort of that part of the Requiem that you want to go to because it's the most dramatic. But let's take a quick listen to this one part of it. So this is the men of the chorus singing, silencing the accursed to acrid flames, consigning them, call me with those blessed. Then listen to what happens. There's a baritone soloist that sings the words of Wilfred Owen. And he's coming up in just a second here. So he's singing in English. Be slowly lifted up, thou long black arm, great gun towering toward heaven, about to curse. This is very, very powerful stuff. And the idea that the BSO has is to present this stuff with the context of pacifism in music and to sort of explore that as a way that in a time of war that we can think through alternatives to war and to really put out there in the most graphic way possible the tragedy of war. So this is coming up the week after it's next week. And
November
there are
3rd,
events,
right?
Yeah, and there are events all through the week that include lectures and different performances of chamber works by Britten. There's a visiting scholar that'll be in town. There's all kinds of ways to contextualize this. Tons of events that I can't even mention all of them here, but they're on that link on the website.
If I'm not mistaken, doesn't Benjamin Britten have a great Christmas carol?
The Ceremony of Carols.
Yes, the Ceremony of Carols. Yes. Much lighter and more fun, though.
It is, yeah.
They're beautiful.
You're exactly
favorite,
right, Marjorie.
Christmas carols.
Yeah.
Okay, have you finished eating cookies over there, Edgar B.
I'm
Hurwitz
finished eating cookies, but I don't want to follow that. I don't have death and I don't have burned fingers.
Okay.
How about some pop tunes, guys? Like, how about just some music?
Light it up for us, Edgar.
Bring the pop.
So the first one I want to talk about is, do you guys know Chris Smither?
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah. So he's going to be in town. For those of you who don't know who Chris Smither is, I mean, he was one of these a real huge figure in the folk scene in Cambridge in late 60s, 70s here. But he's born and raised in New Orleans. Really, really interesting guy. Led an interesting life. He spent some time in France. He spent a lot of time traveling after he'd spent some time here in Cambridge. Then he kind of disappeared off the face of the earth for a while. I mean, he just kind of musically, he wasn't heard from a period of time. And then sometime in the 90s, he sort of started to resurge again and started to put out a couple of really, really good albums. So he's going to be playing on December 13th at Johnny D's in Somerville, which is a great place to see a folk artist. It's a small venue.
Oh, you're right on top of them. It's great.
Yeah, it's just you're sitting right there. It's very close.
That's where Neil Young made a surprise appearance a couple of weeks ago when his wife Peggy was doing her set. And then lo and behold, who makes an appearance but the husband, Neil Young. Oh, my God. Go ahead.
Unreal.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. I mean, anytime you're going to interject with Neil Young, you can. But yeah, so he's playing, and I want to play a cut of Chris Smither, from one of his more recent albums. But just listen to this guy's voice at this point. I mean, he always kind of had a great voice, but as he's gotten older, there is a character to this voice that is unbelievable, and he's as good of an acoustic player as you're going to hear. So here's a little bit of Chris Smither. This is a tune called "Leave the Light On."
If I were young again, I'd pay attention to that little known dimension, the taste of endless time. It's just like water, it runs right through our fingers, but the flavor of it lingers like a rich red wine. In those days we were single, and we lived them one by one.
I mean, you just sort of melt right into that. I think he's up at least in his 60s now, maybe even a little bit older. But, you know, he's kind of a contemporary of Bonnie Raitt. They worked a lot together. And I should mention, Bonnie Raitt's also coming to town. We're not going to listen to her, but she'll be at the Orpheum on November 17th. I've never seen Bonnie Raitt
live. I've seen her a couple times.
I would imagine that would be an incredible show.
I've seen Bonnie Raitt.
We should mention that she's also going to be in town playing as well. So,
you know, I've seen Chris Smither a few times, too. He does this great thing. It almost sounded like there was a drummer on that track. But
that's right.
He does this foot-tapping thing all throughout his sets. So when you see him live, it's awesome. He's playing the guitar and he's tapping that foot. It's a great time.
That's the voice of Rob Hochschild. He's from Berklee College of Music. You heard Brian McCreath, and you'll hear him again from 99.5 WCRB. And, of course, Edgar B. Herrick III brought us Chris Smither. Okay, Rob, round two is all yours.
All right, here we go. Well, if Berklee College of Music ever built a Mount Rushmore, maybe it would be... maybe you call it Mount Jazzmore. I don't know.
Wait, are you saying that's not what they're building over in the Back Bay?
Yeah, it's a 16-story. Yeah, exactly. One of the faces on that Mount Jazzmore would be Gary Burton, student, teacher, and a key administrator at Berklee for many, many years. Also, out in the larger world, he's got a legendary reputation as Grammy-winning vibraphonist, band leader, played a big role in the fusion movement in the 60s and 70s. So at where he's at now in his career, he's not working at Berklee anymore, but he's this elder statesman who goes out with his band, and he really schools a lot of young musicians. In fact, he's in a big way responsible for Pat Metheny's growth many years ago. Now he's got a guy in his band, a guitarist named Julian Lage. So November 12th, Berklee Performance Center. This is actually a concert and conversation with Gary Burton. He's got his autobiography out called Learning to Listen, The Jazz Journey of Gary Burton. All ticket holders get a copy of the book, by the way. So he's going to play with his band. He's going to be interviewed by Bob Blumenthal. And so let's get a little taste of what's coming up in that. This is a song called Jackalope. So you've got this angular melody, but this groove is really kind of driving through it. So this juxtaposition of those two elements just kind of sucks you in and takes you through it. And musicianship is just great. So this will be a really cool night.
When's that again?
November 12th.
At your place?
At our place, the BPC, as we like to call it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you can call it that, too, if you want.
No, we do.
Why? Yeah. Sure.
BPC on BPR. I love that.
Let me make a very obvious point. It's unusual to listen to this variety of music all the same. I mean, to go from the classical to the requiem to the folk singing to the jazz. I mean, I think there's
a method to this. Is there? I think there may be something we're trying to achieve. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either.
Okay, Brian McGreath, Rob has really elevated the bar.
It's your turn. Yeah. Okay, so here's the thing. So classical music, and you guys have all experienced this. I'm always talking about. Well, as Edgar likes to say it, you know, 5 minutes in, if I say life-changing, it's going to mean Mahler. I'm not going there.
The other question I have, I don't mean to take you off track, but you said this earlier. This is something that I always hear. Yeah. Every classical person describes at some point a piece of music as, this is just a massive piece of music. What does that mean?
It's long.
Yeah.
And it uses hundreds of performers.
Okay. So that's when you say massive, that's what you're talking about.
I think
scope.
So, yeah, but also maybe a massive effect on you.
Dramatic.
I mean, it's just
massive
really,
in its ambition.
It hits you as something that is life-changing, Edgar. Yeah, so I keep trying to get him to go hear Mahler. It'll change his life. I think he's just afraid. But no, seriously. Usually we're talking about that kind of thing.
Afraid.
But
there was like
every
a 3-second delay before I heard that. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Brian.
So this time we're going to talk about not some massive piece of music, not some profound utterance of a composer, but we're going to talk about someone who is a performer. We're going to dive into the life of Deborah Voigt. Deborah Voigt is one of the great sopranos of our time. She may have come across some people's radar in last year. The PBS showed The Ring, Wagner's Ring from the Metropolitan Opera. Talk about massive. I mean, that's just the definition of massive. So she played Brunhilde, okay?
I love that. Brunhilde.
Yeah. No, the whole like Viking hat thing, all that stuff going on. Yeah. She's one of those people that can do that, which is like freakish when you hear it. If for someone to sing like that is unbelievable. But she also has so many other sides to her. And she's doing this thing coming up next month called Voigt Lessons. And it's kind of an autobiographical show that she put together with this playwright named Terrence McNally. And it sort of takes you through a lot of music that she'll sing, but also just what it is that she's dealt with in her life. She's had to deal with alcoholism. She had gastric bypass surgery because as a Wagnerian opera, she got to be over 300 pounds.
Oh, my gosh.
And was actually very publicly kicked off of a major production in London because she was too big.
Wow.
And that was
what does that mean? Her appearance was well, something she was they playing were concerned a role. With or she just couldn't do it?
She was – no, she could have sung it, but the role was for someone who was supposed to wear a slinky black dress and be seductive. And the director said, I'm sorry, it's just not believable. Now, this brings up lots of issues about appearance and music and art and what are we going for. But the upshot is that Deborah Voigt ended up getting gastric bypass surgery. And so she you know, looks a little different now, but she's put together this show called Voigt Lessons.
I know I shouldn't say this, but I've been thinking about it for 10 seconds. You know what the director said to you? I'm sorry, but you're massive, is what he said. I know I'm going to regret that, but I take it back. I'm sorry. I know I shouldn't.
Well, the thing about Deborah Voigt is that she does sing Wagner. She sings all these huge opera roles. Sorry, there I did it again. These opera roles. But she also sings lots of Broadway. She sang Annie Oakley at Glimmerglass Opera recently. So here's a little cut of Deborah Voigt, just to give you a sense of her voice. This is doing a little Bernstein. This is Deborah Voigt right here. So just imagine being in a room with this person who's not only singing these songs with a pianist, a very intimate setting, but she's telling you the stories of how she gets from one part of her life to another part of her life. It's a little bit more performance art. It's a little bit more than just showing up at a recital and sitting there with your legs crossed being very quiet. This is a little bit more
with just the piano she does this?
Yeah.
That's
pretty
great.
Yeah, it's going to be just piano. There's a quote from a review that someone wrote that said that if this were 1970, Deborah Voigt would probably be given her own network variety show. That's the kind of entertainer she is. She's a great opera singer, but an entertainer. She understands what it is that an audience wants when they show up. They want a connection, and that's what she's doing.
Will she talk between these?
Yeah, that's the whole thing. She's telling you her life story as she's singing these really terrific songs that are, you know, everywhere from art songs of Schubert to Bernstein and Broadway.
Cool. It's like a cabaret night.
It's a kind of cabaret night,
Cool.
Yeah.
So, okay, Edgar. Do you have anything life-changing or no?
Yeah, really, Edgar.
I just have insignificant pop music on my list, unfortunately.
What are you bringing?
I'm sorry, I can't
is
bring it,
massive?
It to So it is not massive. This is we're going to kind of stay in the folk realm a little bit. This is another kind of guy and his guitar dude, and this is a guy named Dan Byrne. He's been around for a really long time. He's a singer-songwriter type. And he's one of the funniest songwriters that I've ever heard. He has songs that I have literally laughed for 3 minutes through. And the thing about him is he doesn't really necessarily do silly funny. It's not kids' songs funny. You know, there's a lot of those kind of like acts out there. But he does very insightful, strange and funny at the same time. And you'll be laughing 1 minute and then he'll turn a line and it'll sort of break your heart. And you're just sort of like, what is happening? He's really interesting on stage. He's a provocateur. He's a provocative guy and provocative songwriter. And he's also a lot of fun at the same time. So I'm going to play a little bit of a cut of one of his older tunes. This is a song called Krautmeier. He's playing November 20th, Club Passim. I cannot recommend this guy strongly enough. Let's hear a little bit of Krautmeier. You'll hear what I'm talking about with his sense of humor here.
Charles Manson doesn't even know his last name anymore. Charles Manson's real name was Charles Krautmeier. He's forgotten it. Charles Manson had a bunch of people who believed his every word. He followed his directions to cut a bunch of rich people. Would they still have done it if they'd known his name was Krautmeier? I kind of doubt it. Charles Manson's real name was Charles Krautmeier.
This guy has got songs about himself being the Messiah. He's got a song about Jesus coming down and being like, can you take the cross off my back? I want to go out and get drinks. You know, he's got songs about what would have happened if Marilyn Monroe married Henry Miller instead of Arthur Miller. I mean, it's like, this guy is hysterical.
Or even Mitch Miller.
Yeah.
Okay, now, Gentlemen, we're in the third round, and because we want to get in as much as possible, we're going to call this a lightning round. You're going to pick up the pace so we can get to as many fall and winter concerts as possible.
Okay.
Rob Hochschild, it's you.
All righty, let's listen to Arturo Sandoval.
Oh,
he's going to be at Sculler's November 29th
Trumpet
and 30th.
Yep.
That's right, December 1st. He is a very big, bad, fantastic trumpeter from Cuba, born in Cuba, defected to the U.S. in 90. Really influenced by Dizzy Gillespie. So you got your big brassy band and great arrangements and large ensemble. He's won a bunch of Grammy Awards. Anyway, so he's going to be playing at Sculler's for a few days at the end of next month. Let's listen to that. This is Night in Tunisia. So bring your dancing shoes.
Yeah. Oh, man. Arturo Sandoval is going to blow a hole in the wall.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
That's the sound. That's like, sorry, I'm a trumpet player. This guy's a hero of mine, right?
Yeah. How good are you?
I'm not as good as that.
But you're good. But that means you're good? Are you good?
I don't suck, but, you know, I don't play like
that's
that.
That's a hell of an endorsement.
You know,
I don't
Brian
play
McCree,
that way.
Brian McCreath has played in orchestras. You traveled through South America,
thing.
Mexico,
is that
playing
true?
Music.
Yes. He was a professional.
How would I know this?
Yes, I talked to him when we went to the Broadcasters Hall of Fame about his
How's that helping
career.
Me? I wasn't talking.
Well,
Brian, when you guys
seat.
Do the next round of this, we got to talk about your history. I'm dying to hear about this on
well,
the air.
I'm just saying that go to hear Arturo Sandoval if you love jazz, because this is serious, yeah. serious stuff. And
okay.
Absolutely.
What okay. do you have, Brian?
Here,
McCreath.
Here we go. So the first thing I talked about, War Requiem, that's the Sublime. Now we're going to go to the Ridiculous. This is a piece by Virgil Thompson and Gertrude Stein called Four Saints in Three Acts. It opens the Boston Modern Orchestra Project season. And let's just hear a little bit of it first, because you got to hear it. I said ridiculous, right?
I kind of want to be on a boat with some rum or something. I don't know. Am I wrong?
Those French films where it's just sort of provocatively nonsense.
Yeah.
That's a little bit kind of what's going on here. They wrote this thing in the 30s, Gertrude Stein and Virgil Thompson. It's intentionally sort of ridiculous. Listen.
St. Philomena, St. Evelyn, St. Hilaire, St. Hilaire, St. Bernardine.
St. Ignatius, St. Paul, St. William, St. Gilbert, St. Settle, St. Arthur, St. Selma, St. Paul, St. Cotton.
I'm flashing back to fourth grade with the nuns right now.
Yeah,
exactly.
Back
out.
Yikes.
But there's absolutely... There's no real deep meaning to this. This is playing with words. It's playing with the simplest elements of classical music to sort of like just create this thing that really is just one of the best music critics around describes it this way. He says all these elements are treated with an intellectual detachment that recalls cubist sculpture and surrealist collage. If you're one of those types that kind of goes into a museum and you find the Picasso and you're like, whoa. This is that same kind of direction in sound. And Boston Modern Orchestra Project, Gil Rose, their director, one of the real gems of this city. This is old, old music to them. They usually do things that are right on the cutting edge, but they're going to do this Four Saints in Three Acts coming up this month.
Sounds
okay,
great.
Okay, Edgar, take it away.
Guitar. Gary Clark Jr., he's from Austin, Texas. You hear, this guy is awesome. This guy plays mean guitar. He can play a dirty guitar. You hear a little bit of Hendrix in him, but you also hear a little bit of sort of Stevie Ray Vaughan and those Austin people. You sort of hear a little bit of soul in this. This is a tune called Bright Lights.
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Down and dirty.
It is just...
This is very dirty.
Sweaty.
Yeah.
Dirty. Yes. And he can sing. He's going to come in a second. You'll hear him sing a little bit. This guy, he can perform. This guy's great. He's playing two shows at Royale, November 10th and 11th. Stevie Wonder in there.
Yeah, yeah. That's gritty. That's very gritty stuff.
And like I said, so the first show sold out on November 10th. This guy's going to play two nights. He'll sell the second one out, too. So that gives you a little bit of an indication of how good a show you're going to see there. So November 11th is the one there's still tickets for at Royale.
Okay, we have 90 seconds left. Rob Hochschild, starting with you. We don't have time for more music, except in the background, I guess. Tell us the top concert coming in the fall you haven't had time to mention, or maybe even two quickly if you want.
All right, we got Josh Redman at the Berklee Performance Center on November 8th. Great tenor player, beautiful sound, and also another Berklee thing, Jazz Revelation Records. It's a student label. They're doing a show, and I don't have the date in front of me right now, but that's coming up. That'll be on the website.
It will indeed. Brian McCreath.
Hey, Charlie Albright, a 2011 graduate of Harvard. He was in economics and pre-med, but he also graduated from NEC, the New England Conservatory. He's doing
2011?
He's doing a Schubert concert at the Gardner Museum.
Hey, babe.
He's a kid, but he's an amazing pianist, and he's doing this beautiful Schubert concert that we're hearing a little bit of right now. But, so check out the Gardner Museum because it's got a really terrific concert hall, very unusual, but a nice way to hear it as well.
By the way, we're moving quickly. This is Joshua Redman, for those who are getting confused, including me. Edgar, could you bring the confusion to a close, please?
Yeah, I'd say there's a great band, a duo, guy-girl duo called Widowspeak. They're playing November 5th at T.T. the Bear's Place with a nice intimate venue. Red Barat, November 9th at Royale. They are from... they are from Brooklyn, but they are a Bagram funk band. So if you can imagine Ethiopian music gone totally funky with a lot of brass, I guarantee you this sounds really, really, really weird, and it's as good as it sounds weird. So they're going to be that's going to be one not to miss. And as I said, Bonnie Raitt's going to be in town, MGMT, Thursday, December 5th at the Orpheum, Destroyer, Wednesday the 13th at Brighton Music Hall. A lot of good stuff coming up. We'll have that all on the
all website. On our website. You know what my advice? You three should go on the road. I'm serious. I'd come listen to you three. You play the music. You pitch the concerts and...
Will the cookies be there as well?
The cookies, no, they're
the
delicious.
Show about shows. From Nancy Kane at the Harvard Music
Gentlemen,
Music
it's
School.
Great as always. Thank you
and
so much
were
for being
delicious
with us.
Cookies. Thank you guys so much for coming in. I love these segments. We've been speaking with Brian McCreath. He's host of 99.5 WCRB, and he's also a producer for the Boston Symphony Orchestra radio broadcast. Rob Hochschild is with the... I got that right. Hochschild.
It's close enough.
It's with the Berklee. I'm sorry. It's with the. I wrote it down and goofed it up. Berklee College of Music. I got this one right. Edgar B. Herwick III runs at the WGBH Curiosity Desk. Thanks for listening to another edition of Boston Radio. Tune in tomorrow for a recap of the latest mayoral debate and open mic with the editor of the Boston Globe, Brian McGroy. I'm Marjorie Egan.
You are, and I'm Jim Browning.
And thank you for listening, and thank you guys again for giving us such great music. Tune in tomorrow.